Okay. All right, folks. Sorry. Had to step away from the machine and calling Greg Howard right now. Getting ready for Yahweh's Covenant People. And, okay, here we go. As usual, I have to go through the board. Okay, Greg.
I'm here.
Very good. All right, guess what? Pastor Steve, as you've probably heard, has been taken ill and is in the hospital and trying to decide whether to try to... he's got a heart problem, a clogged artery near his heart or vein. I'm not sure which. Okay?
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. And so he's in the hospital as we speak. Probably going to stay there the whole weekend because typically... hospital staff declines on the weekend, and this will give him time to think about what procedure he wants to follow. Okay, so just for people, your prayers for Pastor
Amen.
Steve. Welcome, folks. All right. Okay. So, Greg, as far as my recording or record here shows, we were in chapter 6, and I think we went all the way to verse 16. In that chapter. I don't know what your recollection is.
Brother, I'm burdened for Pastor Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know anything more? I mean, what happened?
I talked to him by phone. He still had a cell phone by his side, and he said he was flat on his back, and they hadn't allowed him to drink any water. He was taken into the hospital the previous night, which I think at this point was Wednesday night, and I was driving home toward Central Illinois, and called him today. So between Thursday and Friday, he went to the hospital, and now he's undergoing observation, but no decision has been made because they had a lot of tests to take as to what they're ultimately going to do, whether to operate or to send him home and see if he can, do self-help type treatment. Okay. I don't know what to tell you at this moment. We have to get the results of the tests have to come in first.
Was he able to make it back home or did he get caught?
No, he's in the hospital. He's in the hospital. Yeah. Yeah. I found out, I was practically home when I found out. So, otherwise I would have stayed down there, because I could have done the shows from there just as we did Fake News Now. But there really wouldn't be anything I could do anyway, right? So
Not really. Once he's in the medical in the system, you almost have to trust it in some way.
Right.
Yeah, we cover our brother, Steve.
Amen. No, so it's a complicated issue because it's diabetes also involved. All right. And I guess he has been having untreated diabetes for a while as well. And what I have found out, Greg, is that there are more diabetes-related heart attacks than cholesterol-related heart attacks. The industry knows it, but still keeps blaming cholesterol instead of diabetes. We'll have to do a show about that at some point in the future. Again, so we see not only is the mass media lying to us, but Big Pharma is lying to us. It's just a business. They allow you to eat sugar and processed carbohydrates. This gives you diabetes. They tell you the cholesterol is the problem, but really it's the inflammation caused by the diabetes that leads to, constriction of the veins and arteries, which actually caused the heart attack.
Yeah. Okay?
That's how I understand it.
Having spent almost 20 years working for Big Pharma, I have a good understanding of the whole concept. I'm almost ashamed of my time there. I just didn't know any better at the time.
Right. Okay.
But we're in an amazing chapter here of divine prophecy. And what an interesting time we're living in. I'm sorry I wasn't able to jump in the last hour, brother. I couldn't make it. I couldn't get to my computer. And, so many questions, so much craziness, so much chaos, exactly like these apocryphal books have prophesied would be going on, where the world would be in a state of bewilderment and the people would be in a stupor. And that's exactly where we are right now. People just don't know what's going on. They're in a stupor. Stupor's the perfect word. It basically means they're stupid.
Yes.
You know, they're in a Jewish inversed stupid moment. They just they have no idea what's going on around
them. Right. Jewish inversion.
You know, and
yes, of reality. Yeah.
And yet here's this amazing chapter where Ezra and Yahweh are conversing back and forth about how the age will be divided, the eternal age, the current age, what will be the end of this age, and what will be the ushering in of the eternal age. And that's what we're looking at here in this incredible chapter. And we find that according to, you know, we're looking here, just backing up a little to we're in chapter 6, verse 7, 8, 9.
Okay.
Some of the greatest verses, I think, in all of Scripture, where the concept of race is put at the forefront. The more we live in this age and the more we're told, oh, race doesn't matter, we're all the human race, we're all just different colors on the outside, but we're all the same on the inside, we're the human family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There really is no race, blah, blah,
yes,
blah, even though the whites should all hate themselves for being white, and it goes on and on. And yet we find out here that Yahweh breaks it all down into race.
Right. Well, here, let me
it's all about race.
Let me interject here because we read this last time. It was where it's talking about Esau's heel and Jacob's hand. And this is definitely an end times prophecy of the changing of the order of the ages. Every bit as profound and important as the second coming, the day of judgment, the burning
of the
tares.
Well, it's all related.
It's
all connected.
Yeah.
It's all connected.
Why don't you start reading from verse 7?
Well, let me just make a statement.
Okay.
The more this age tells me anything, for example, the more this age tells me and those in this age that have the voice, and we'll just call them the Jews, the more I'm being told race doesn't matter, the more I realize, wow, race must matter a hell of a lot. You know, the more I'm told that it's okay to be a homosexual, the more I realize, well, then that's the last thing I want to be. And the age is literally blaring out. We're in the age of the opposites right now. We're in the age where two men can get married, two women can get married. You can change your gender. Race doesn't matter. Our children are being destroyed in the public school system.
You can marry a Martian.
Everything.
Right.
So I realize the more the age tells me race doesn't matter, to me, I realize race means everything. Otherwise, I wouldn't be being told it doesn't mean anything. And these verses break it down into the 12 tribes of Israel. You know, from Abraham to Isaac, because from him were born Jacob and Esau. For Jacob's hand held Esau's heel from the beginning. For Esau is the end of this age, the current age, and Jacob is the beginning of the age that follows. So now we understand a little bit about why the evil seed line of Esau, you know, that came through Cain. We understand why they're so successful, why they're so controlling currently. This is their time. And we are being tested in this age.
Yes.
That's why it's such a miserable time to be a white person in a white country right now. You can barely declare that you love being white anywhere without being
or
put in
being
jail.
Or even a Christian. Christianity is getting persecuted
as
well.
Yeah, what did I read the other day? The Jew Senator Dianne Feinstein made some statement that any person that was a Christian was unqualified to be a federal judge because of the automatic biases that they would bring to the bench on various abortion and various cases. So if you were a Christian, you were unqualified to be a judge in the federal court.
Well, this is a
devil. Can you imagine 100 years ago someone saying that?
This is the devil saying Jesus Christ is evil. Right?
That's right. Well, and it'll come to the point if they get their way where just being a white person will be a crime.
Yeah.
To have a white skin, you'll automatically be branded as a hater, a racist. you're a white person. You're automatically branded as yeah. as a bigot, as yeah. a hater.
Yeah, call me what you will. The bullets will shut you up eventually. Right? That's what it's going to come
brother,
down.
I got to admit, I don't brag about a lot, but I'll brag about this. I have never suffered one second of white guilt my entire life.
Yeah, neither have I.
Not
yeah,
a
I've
second.
I've never persecuted anybody. I've never had a slave.
I wake up in the morning and I look in the mirror and I go, praise Yahweh, I'm a white man. I love being white. Because I realize there's divinity in this race.
Yeah.
We are the divine race on this planet. And, of course, we are branded as white supremacists, which is a term I hate because it's not a term that we made up.
Yeah.
It was clearly a Jewish invented term, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you love your own kind, Greg. Well, you're a white supremacist.
Yeah.
Of course, Jews love their own kind. Blacks love their own kind. Asians love their own kind. Mexicans love their own kind. But I am not allowed to love my own kind.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Yeah, I guess they're trying to pass a law against it, but they haven't gotten that far either.
Well,
okay.
They might get there. You know,
they might get there. Yes. All right.
But looking here at the incredible picture of the end of the age with a hand on a heel showing that there's very, very little transition from one age mm-hmm. into the next.
Right.
It's a very rapid thing because the hand is on the heel.
All Jacob has to do is let go of the heel. That's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah. And it's obvious that it hasn't happened yet, is it not?
That's right. Exactly.
We are clearly in the age of Esau still right now. Uh-huh. And if we remember that Ezra, I think we pegged Ezra at, I'm looking at my notes, around 450 BC approximately. So this book is 2600. This is about 2600 year old book. We're still in the age of Esau, but I believe it's safe to say the signs are all around us mm-hmm. that the end of this age is at hand. It's very right. close.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Please continue. Verse 11.
He says, I answered and said, O sovereign Lord, if I have found favor in thy sight, show thy servant the end of the signs which thou didst show me in part on a previous night. He answered and said to me, rise to your feet, and you will hear a full, resounding voice. And if the place where you are standing is greatly shaken, while the voice is speaking, do not be terrified, because the word concerns the end, mm-hmm. and the foundations of the earth will understand that the speech concerns them. They will tremble and be shaken, for they will know that their end must be changed. When I heard this,
let me just comment here because we associate this with the Feast of Tabernacles and the blowing of the shofar, which also stands for the great noise the earth makes during an earthquake.
Okay, mm-hmm.
And here we see the trembling. We see the trembling in the foundations of the earth trembling while this great noise is being heard. Okay, so Feast of Tabernacles is cited here as well. A great shaking of the earth. There's plenty of passages in the Old and New Testaments talking about the great shaking. He's saying, do not be afraid when this happens.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
He says, he continues, when I heard this, I rose to my feet and listened. And behold, a voice was speaking, and its sound was like the sound of many waters. And this concept is repeated numerous times in Scripture, where the voice of Yahweh is likened to great, mm-hmm. you know, waterfall, resounding waters, powerful. Obviously, Revelation gets into this. It says in verse 18, and it said, behold, the days are coming, and it shall be that when I draw near to visit the inhabitants of the earth, and when I require from the doers of iniquity the penalty of their iniquity. And then what a profound verse. He goes, and when the humiliation of Zion is complete.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about that little phrase.
Yeah. Yes.
The humiliation of Zion mm-hmm. is complete.
Right. And it's the leadership. That's the leadership of the house of Israel. That's Zion. That's real Zion, not the Jews, not Zionism.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, yeah. I have notes here just discussing that.
Okay.
Zion here is essentially the white people around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when the humiliation of the white race around the world is complete, and are we not in the midst of that being perpetrated upon us now?
In terms of the governments of the white nations, yes. They have
White sheeple, the NFL watching, NBA worshiping white sheeple, right. are beginning to see that the humiliation
yes.
of our people, it's not complete yet, but it's clearly in the process of being wiped out.
Right.
It's unbelievable, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt that our governments, there's no doubt that all of our white governments have been totally humiliated by the Jews. There's no doubt about that.
Not just humiliated, but they've been subverted by Jews.
And so now,
with their massive money, whatever positions the Jews have not been allowed to actually take over, they have so much power and wealth and influence. They'll just buy people. They'll just buy off whites and just get them to spit on their own heritage.
Yeah. And so they're using their subversive activities and subversion of white governments to now humiliate the average white person. Okay. And that's in the process. That's in the process of happening. At the same time, however, a lot of these white people can't be bought off and they will begin to resist. And that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing the resistance forming.
Well, thankfully, it appears that we're going to at least put up a little bit of a fight. I would have been annoyed had we not at least risen up. I don't even know that we could. Personally, I don't think we can win this fight without the return of Yahshua Christ to the earth. I don't think we win. I think we have become that weak. They have become that strong. I just don't have much confidence that we're going to get it together and, you know, kick evil seedline ass at the end, apart from divine intervention. I don't see any precedent for it.
Right.
They're
right.
powerful, man.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
powerful. You know, when you got trillions and trillions of dollars, you can do just about anything in this world.
Yeah. Well, they own the blacks. They own the Mexicans. They own the Judeo-Christians. They own the media. They own all the politicians. They own the banks. I mean, what is there that they don't own?
And I would say they own the governments, which means they own the militaries,
right?
Which means they own the various local and state and federal law enforcement agencies. So they can reach out and touch at any time.
Yes.
No.
Reach out and touch a Jew.
I'm not paranoid about any of it because I realize
because
Yahweh,
it's real.
Yahweh has dictated in his word that we are going to win this battle. But I think our only chance to win is Yahweh and Yahshua Christ showing up on our behalf and just slaying the enemies before us.
Right.
We don't win this on our own. Right. No chance whatsoever.
Yeah, read verse 16. Read verse 16.
All right.
I think you stopped at 15.
That the speech concerns them, they will tremble and be shaken, for they know that their end must be changed.
Okay. So what he's saying here, there's no way this can be avoided. This has to happen. And we've been saying this many, many times, that the way things are now, it has to be this way because Lucifer, Paul says, Satan is the prince of this world, and he's the prince of the power of the air. So, and then when Yahshua confronted Satan in the desert, and Satan told him, well, I'll give you the whole world if you follow me. And he did not challenge that authority.
Exactly. He didn't say, you don't have that power.
Right.
He just said, get out of here.
Yeah.
But he didn't say, he didn't say that offer was illegitimate.
That's right.
Apparently, it was quite a legitimate offer. He had it to give.
He did.
Had Yahshua Christ,
obeyed. And he still does.
Right. So, if he had it then, imagine the power he has now.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But keep reading because it basically verifies what we've been saying over the years that, and David James and Pastor Dan and many others, that the evil in the world today must be allowed to complete its course.
It must.
Yes. And
we are not in our own racial power going to defeat them in this. I don't think it's possible.
No. No, not
without. I wish it was. I wish it was. But I don't see the precedent for us being victorious on our own. I don't think Yahweh wants us to be victorious on our own. Or maybe he does. I don't think it's possible. It's clearly not going to happen.
It's not possible.
You know?
No, we don't have.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. That's how powerful they are.
That's why the second coming, we must anticipate and get ready for the second coming. We will have a role to play, but it won't be as a military army. We will be defending ourselves, right, against them. But there's no way we can organize an aggressive attack force and defeat them. Not without.
Well, look what happens when any time whites try to organize.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable, the machine set up against us. Imagine, brother, I come to Chicago and we put the word out. love the white race rally down at the blah, blah, blah park by Michigan, Lake Michigan. You know, we're going to celebrate being white and how much
we'll
love our...
We'll be meeting at the Polsky restaurant on Belvoir Avenue, right?
We love our European heritage and all whites are welcome.
Yeah.
And
Antifa... I mean, we'll be there waiting for us.
There'd be 500 lunatics with hammers there.
Yeah, or what?
Maybe
or
there's
worse.
50 of us, and there'd be 500 of them with hammers looking to cave our skulls in.
That's
are not allowed to organize, meet, to worship.
Publicly, not allowed.
To just enjoy the fellowship of our kindred together.
Exactly.
While all other races can do it without any problem whatsoever.
We have to meet in secret. Or without any publicity, without any fanfare. Only white people have this burden. Everybody else is allowed to meet freely in the open.
Well, now maybe we get some insight into the verse in Matthew where Yahshua Christ said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst."
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not allowed to meet by the hundreds or thousand anymore.
Right.
Two or three we could maybe get away with.
Even the Tea Party groups can't meet without being accused of racism.
Well, even the free speechers, the constitutionalists, the really not even Christian identity in any way whatsoever, but anything that has a tinge of whiteness to it is not allowed to have a meeting. I marvel that people don't see that. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we have a congressional black caucus. No one says they're the devil. Imagine if we had a congressional white caucus. It wouldn't be allowed. How few people are paying attention to what goes on around them out there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I really marvel at the stupidity of our people. We've been so dumbed down, so brainwashed, so, God, you know, who knows what they're doing to our air, our water, our food. It's a miracle any of us see anything, honestly.
Yes. Well, Yahweh will visit. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, please continue.
So I read verse 18. It shall be when I draw near
verse.
To visit the inhabitants of the earth, and when I require from the doers of iniquity the penalty of their iniquity, and when the humiliation of Zion is complete, and when the seal is placed upon the age which is about to pass away, then I will show these signs. The books shall be opened before the firmament, and all shall see it together. Infants a year old shall speak with their voices, and women with child shall give birth to premature children at 3 and 4 months. And these shall live and dance. Oh, praise Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Sown places shall suddenly appear unsown, and full storehouses shall suddenly be found to be empty. And I don't think he's speaking here strictly of grain and, you know, produce. I think there's something to do here with the banking system.
Yeah, okay.
You know, banks filled with billions of Jewish shekels, and all the rich Jews, all of a sudden their wealth, I believe, is just going to evaporate.
Right.
They're going to feel the pain of going from being George Soros to being back into the ghetto with nothing. I think that's in store for them.
Right. Well, and plus the store shelves will be emptied by people who are starving. There's no doubt about that. Okay.
Yeah.
We've been talking about that happening for years. Okay. So some good things will happen. We see that the righteous will have kind of miraculous things happening for them, but the unrighteous shall, you know, be terrified, and they will ransack the stores. And we can already see from the various hurricane footage that blacks will be ransacking the stores, right?
Well, brother, I don't need to know a prophecy about blacks. I'll tell you what. There's not a more worthless race that's ever existed on this planet.
Yeah.
You give them an opportunity to loot, to riot, to steal. I mean, they're born to it.
They will.
You know?
That's right.
A black lab that sees a duck falling upon, he's jumping in for it. I mean, a black will just loot that easily. Yeah. They're unbelievable. I marvel that more people don't see what we see.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Verse 23.
Yeah, and here we go. Let's see here. And the trumpet shall sound aloud, and when all hear it, they shall suddenly be terrified.
Okay.
Clearly, I think we're discussing the last trumpet here.
That's right.
Trumpet that will announce, basically, that trumpet sounds, this
Feast
age is ending.
Right.
Yeah,
Feast
this
of
age is ending. The new age is beginning.
Mm-hmm. So
a massive transition.
But what we've been saying, Pastor Steve and I have done a couple of shows about this, that the Feast of Trumpets will, in a particular year, will announce the end, okay? Then we will have the Day of Atonement, which will be basically our last attempt to repent, okay? And if we don't repent, then it's going to be over. Then the Feast of Tabernacles, where all cities are going to burn, big towns are going to burn, and we're going to have to dwell outside. If we're lucky, we'll have a tent, and watch this whole thing come down. And if we're in the righteous mode, we won't be terrified. But if you're unrighteous, it's going to be hell on earth.
Yeah, pretty much that's going to how it's going to be. At that point, if you're among the righteous, you'll be realizing that this is all coming to an end. The new age is coming in,
mm-hmm.
and you're in the right position. So,
yeah.
Verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, friends shall make war on friends like enemies, and the earth and those who inhabit it shall be terrified. And the springs of the fountains shall stand still, so that for 3 hours they shall not flow.
Interesting. Well, you know what? This could be a stoppage in the rotation of the earth or something like that, right? Because a lot of people are predicting a pole shift. But no point in speculating here. So in other words, the fountains shall stand still for 3 hours.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and the fountain may just well be the flow of water around the earth, the rivers, the springs. I mean, who knows how vast that verse is really talking about. It's clearly massive.
Yeah.
The flow of water on the earth will come to a stop. I don't really know what that means. I know it will be highly significant.
Yes. Okay, verse 25.
And it shall be that whoever remains after all that I have foretold to you shall himself be saved and shall see my salvation and the end of my world. Probably that word means my age, I would guess.
Right. Yes, for sure.
Because the world does not come to an end here.
Right.
It's the age that's coming to an end.
From all appearances, the way, let's talk about physical appearances of everything that we know and are familiar with, all of it's going to change. That's how dramatically the landscape will be changed. So it's the end of the age and the end of, all our known experience with, maybe the sun coming up and the mountain ranges will be different, right? Some mountains will fall into the ocean and some will be new on the horizon that you've never seen before. It's all going to change.
And I've got a note here that it says some will survive to the end of the age and not see death.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And perhaps many of us currently living, and I like to believe that the Christian identity believers are the true elect on the earth. I personally believe that many of us may not ever suffer the pain of death and may just pass from this age into the eternal age and never taste of death.
Right. Let me read verse 26 from my version. And the men that are received shall see it, that is, received into the kingdom, who have not tasted death from their birth, and the heart of the inhabitants shall be changed and turned into another meaning. This brings to mind the prophecy by Paul that in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Okay?
Okay.
And only those of us who undergo this change will not taste death. So here we see
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Here Esdras is prophesying the same thing.
I'm trying to click into the chat room on Eurofolk Radio for some reason. Is there any issue with that? Or is it just me? I can't get in.
I've been out of touch for over a week, except for fake news now, you know, because in the backwoods of Kentucky, you don't always have internet service.
All right, yeah, I'm not able to get into the chat room. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's just me. Anyway, so let's see. Did you read 25 or 26?
I think I just read 26. Yes, 26.
Okay, 27. For evil shall be blotted out, and deceit shall be quenched. And I've got notes here on this concept of deceit shall be quenched. Because are we not living in the age of total deceit right now?
That's right. Total deceit.
I mean, let me ask you this, Eli. What would you say are the top three deceits in the current age?
Religion.
Pretty sure we're going to come to an agreement on them.
Yeah. Well, religion, mainly Judeo-Christianity. Money. Right. Okay. And then basically new information. All three are nothing but deceit.
Well, here would be my top three from the age of deceit. If you were going to pin me down, what are the three biggest deceits in this age? I would probably say, number one, the deceit that the Jews are the 12 tribes of Israel on the earth. Or, you know, that the Jews are the continuation of the people of ancient Israel.
Yes.
When in reality, ancient Israel was the Caucasian race. To me, that is the greatest deception on the earth today. Deception number two is that Yahshua Christ was a Jew, and obviously he was not a Jew. He was a Caucasian man. Yeah. He went out in the sun. He got sunburned. He was a white man.
Mm-hmm.
And the third deception, I would say, is that the white race on the earth was just one of many races on the earth, and we're all the same, and we're all the human family, and we're not any better or any worse than anyone else. When in reality, we are the called out chosen race, the children of Yahweh, placed on this earth to rule this planet. These, to me, are the three greatest deceptions in the world today. Maybe I'm missing one or two, but to me, if I would say those are the top three.
Yeah.
And you notice they're all about race.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all racial deceptions.
Mm-hmm.
That's why every time I hear about, we got to celebrate diversity. The police force has to mirror the population of the city they're in. You know, but I mean, on and on and on. And we're all the same on the on the inside, different color on the outside. Yeah. I realize that's the voice of the devil's children.
Yeah, we all bleed red blood, right? Yeah, well, so do dogs.
You know?
So do cats.
Brother, there's no problem for your white daughter to date that black athlete and, you know, they're sleeping together, and she's going to have his child, and what's it matter? We're all the Jesus died to save them all, so what's it matter?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the satanic age that we live in, where we hear this kind of continual nonsense lie out of the devil's mouth. And by the devil, I mean his children on the earth, the Jew.
Mm-hmm.
We hear lies from them nonstop. It's incredible. Right.
I like the last verse of this paragraph, verse 28. Go ahead and read it, please.
Let's see, 28. Faithfulness shall flourish, corruption shall be overcome, and the truth, which has been so long without fruit, shall be revealed.
All right, who's declaring the truth today?
We are Christian
yeah,
identity.
That's right.
And few others, to my knowledge.
Hardly any. Hardly any others. Right? Hardly. Oh, it was interesting today because I was reading, listening to a radio program. It was a call-in show in Central Illinois. And it was interesting because the local news was, there's going to be a canasta and bridge, tournament. Canasta and bridge tournament at the old people's home. And blah, blah, blah. And the next caller said, you know, I think that this attack in Las Vegas was staged by the Illuminati. I said, whoa. This is somebody calling in a country radio station. And then the hosts, it was a dual host, they got all flustered. I said,
right.
And then all of a sudden there was the station had all kinds of problems, connection problems, right? And then when they came back on the air, that guy was gone.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the right path. Illuminati, it's a very what is it? Yeah. In other words, Jews did it, okay?
That's right.
That's what he was trying to say. Jews did it. He wasn't just quite there knowledge-wise yet.
Yeah, well, I think he was being careful not to use the word Jew, but there's no doubt he knew that the Rothschilds run the Illuminati. There's no doubt, from what I heard. And he wasn't allowed to speak for very long before the hosts just started to trash the guy, you know, as a quote-unquote, what do you think they called him? Conspiracy
theorist.
There you go.
Oh, another conspiracy theorist. Put your tinfoil hat on. Yeah. Conspiracy. Yeah.
So this guy would call into a country hick radio station. I thought that was awesome. That was great. Okay, so truth finally came out on that radio station. Back to you.
Well, brother, if these apocryphal books establish anything, they establish this. There truly is a conspiracy.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
there's a race of evil beings on this earth. There's a race of righteous beings on this earth. And the race of evil beings want to destroy the race of righteous beings.
Yes.
I believe those type of statements can sum up all of Scripture. Obviously, it gets more detailed than that.
Yes.
But that's the big picture view, not just of the Bible, but of the Apocrypha.
Yes.
There truly is a conspiracy.
Yep.
There's a group of satanic beings that want to erase Yahweh's children from the earth. And it's a miracle it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and you can't have a
99%
conspiracy.
99% of us don't have a damn clue that what's even going on around us.
And you
we're being eliminated.
Conspiracy.
We don't even know what's happening. It's incredible how stupid most of our people are. Wow.
Deceit and conspiracy go together. You can't have a conspiracy without deceit. And the average person, the average white person, put it that way, the average white person is beginning to see through the deceit. And that
is very slowly.
More slowly
than my patience level can tolerate. But eventually our people seem to go, wow, you know, when blacks are around, I should really be paying attention. I go, seriously?
Yeah,
you should be.
Yeah.
And. Well, you know, it seems like Jews are behind a lot of the evil in the world. And I go, wow, well, hey, you woke up a little bit. Very good. All right, we're on the right track here.
Okay, yeah.
You got a long way to go, but
you're
slowly waking up, you know.
Here, let me dump some ice water on your head. Maybe you'll wake up a little faster.
That's the problem sometimes with seeing a lot. Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of patience with those that see little or nothing.
That's right.
A patient person, you know.
Okay.
If I'm around somebody that wants to tell me that we're all the same and blacks are just like us and it's okay for white women to date blacks, I've got about 2 nanoseconds worth of patience for that guy.
You'll never be a teacher.
No, I will not.
Certainly not grade school.
My patience level is quite low when it comes to these matters. You know,
true, too frustrating. All right, please continue. Verse 29.
While he spoke to me, behold, little by little, the place where I was standing began to rock to and fro.
Rock and roll, baby. I love it.
And he
it.
Said to me, I have come to show you these things this night. If therefore you will pray again and fast for 7 days.
Again, he's already done this twice, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will again declare to you greater things than these, because your voice has surely been heard before the Most High.
Hmm.
For the Mighty One has seen your uprightness and has also observed the purity which you have maintained from your youth. Therefore, he sent me to show you all these things and say to you, believe and do not be afraid. Do not be quick to think vain thoughts concerning the former times, lest you be hasty concerning the last times. Now after this I wept again and fasted 7 days as before in order to complete the 3 weeks as I had been told. We just see the heart of Ezra here.
Yeah.
Ezra, I don't want you to eat a bite of food for the next 7 days and then I'll show you more.
Mm-hmm.
This response is weeping and prayer. Very touching.
Yes. Yeah.
When was the last time any of us fasted for a week?
Right, right. Well, also, he's seeing these frightening visions of the end times. You know, so for him, he's both scared and excited. And, you know, then is all this stuff really going to happen? And fearful for his people Israel, who are going to have to suffer through all of this. So you can imagine the emotions he's going through here.
And you can guarantee you he didn't think there was 2,000 years of time.
No, he had no idea when this all would happen. Right.
He probably thought it was imminent right then.
Might have, yeah.
He probably thought this was around the corner. I'm going to live to see this. You know, he couldn't conceive that it was a couple thousand years and then some off. Yes. And it still hasn't happened yet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I just appreciate his response.
Yeah, we're getting tired of waiting, too. Right?
We've seen the true manifestation of this seed line. You know, he saw some of it, no question. But he didn't see what they've become with 2,000 years of practiced evil and unlimited wealth and, you know, centuries of evil experience in subverting this world.
Yes.
No wonder the world is so screwed up right now. I just look around. I just think, Yahweh, how long will you let this evil seed line do this? You know?
Yeah. Well, we're being told here that the evil has to be complete. Yahweh has determined a certain amount of evil must happen before the end, and obviously to judge the evil ones in their evil doing, right? But also to test us to see whether or not we, to find out which Israelites will not be tempted to be part of it, to make money and take advantage of people. And this is the test. This is how Yahweh determines which Israelites are worthy and which aren't.
Right, and he is continuing to call his elect to him.
Yes.
Even in the midst of this chaos, he is reaching out and calling his elect to him, and they are responding. And so this time has to happen. You know, we wouldn't choose to have this happen, but it has to happen. There's no doubt about it. This plan is so profound, it's hard to grasp it. I would say it's impossible for us in this current time and with our spiritual dullness to grasp the plan completely.
Right.
We just have to trust Yahweh that he knows what he's doing. Obviously he does.
Yes.
I trust him. You know, if it was up to me, I'd push the button, we'd end it tonight.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but get it over with.
I don't have that button in front of me.
Yeah. You ever wish you had buttons?
You ever wish you had buttons in front of you? Like button A, all blacks are shipped to Africa. Okay. Button B, all Jews thrown in the lake of fire. I mean, man, once in a while I just think, wow, God, if that button was in front of me, which one would I push first?
Right.
All blacks gone, all Jews gone. It just depends.
I've got a mixing board that has buttons.
You know?
But not I know the I'd big push, red one.
I would push the J button first. I'd be tempted to push the B button, but I realized the J button. That we'd be better off with them gone, because then we would wake up and we'd deal with the black problem very shortly.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, see, I had this dream that one day the guy that pushes the red button had a touchscreen TV, right?
Yeah.
And some fly came buzzing along and landed on the screen and launched all the and launched all the missiles, right? Set off World War III, and he didn't even mean to, right?
Yeah.
The technology is just too simple to set off World War III, but here we are.
Yeah, it almost seems like, you know, it can just happen accidentally.
That's right. Exactly.
They've done movies where that happens. So
that's right.
A lot of times they foreshadow what's coming via a movie.
And in those movies, you have a Jew like Dustin Hoffman that saves the world.
Oh, yeah. Some super intelligent Jew. what was the other movie I'm thinking of? God, what was Jeff Goldblum, that hook-nosed Jew, you know, where he somehow, his intelligence saved the world. You know, thank God for those genius Jews. They're so beneficial. We got to have them. They save us. Poor, stupid Goyim. Or we have the heroic Negro, the Denzel Washington, you know, heroic Negro figure that comes along and saves us.
Right.
You know,
or who's the Negro that was in the Shawshank Redemption? I think he's been in every movie. Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. Yes.
Morgan Fairchild was a woman.
The Negro with much wisdom in his voice.
Yes, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And several movies where he's actually played the president before Obama got elected, and I'm convinced the Jews put it out there that it'd be fine to have a Negro president. You know,
we need wise
Obama
Negroes
was their guy
to save
all
us.
Along.
Wise Negroes and wise Jews to get us out of trouble. Of course, they're the ones who are making the trouble, and white people don't suspect it.
Now, our race, we just blithely follow along and nod our head and go, wow, what's wrong with a Negro president? You know, he's got a nice looking wife and two kids, and for some reason his wife looks like a man and the kids don't seem to, they never have pictures of her pregnant,
and they adopted
all their transcripts
children.
From college are hidden, and they both were disbarred as lawyers and blah blah blah, but nobody seemed to care. You know. Wow.
Oh, you're talking about Bill and Hillary. I thought you were talking about Barack and Michael.
I was.
Oh, okay.
They were both lawyers. I believe neither of them had a current law license, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, because Hillary did have a law license. I don't know about Bill.
No, they both did, and both of theirs, I believe, were revoked, but you could never find out why.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know, we live in the craziest age. They covered them so much, and if Trump walks down the hallway and, you know, farts, we got to hear about it. You know, it's incredible.
And he meant to do it on purpose just to make the liberals angry, right?
You know, it's
please continue here. I think we're coming up upon the days of madness that, I'm looking at verse 41, where Ezra recapitulates the days of creation. And that'd probably be a good place to stop, because that's a whole new theme.
Well, this chapter really gets into race, as this whole book is a racial book, which is why it was hidden. Because the truth at the end of the age is racial truth.
Yeah.
Which is why race now is concept of race. All our statues of our historic figures are being torn down.
Right.
I'm just calling my shot right now. They're going to look to tear down Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, right.
Because those old white men were a bunch of racists. They owned slaves. Blah, blah, blah. You know, we can't have it. We got to tear that down. It's going to happen. I'm surprised it hasn't been broached already.
No, you don't have to do that. All you have to do is give them all hooked noses.
You know? The white race, our history, is being erased right in front of us.
Right?
Right in front of us. We're watching our history be erased because 200 years ago, supposedly those whites were racist. They had slaves, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's so insane. I'm amazed that people don't see it. It's so obvious if you see it. Once you see it, you realize what's going on. They're trying to erase us from the earth.
Yes.
They're trying not just erase. Well, right now they're erasing our history. Soon it will transition to where they want to erase us.
That's right.
Mark my words. They're laying the foundation for erasing us as people. Once they erase our history, it'll be much easier for them to erase us as people.
Yeah. Well,
you watch.
Yeah, that's one of the interesting things of the shows that I've been doing with Pastor Martins of South Africa, how the basically the Afrikaners, who are descendants of the Cape Dutch, who are essentially Edomites, that means essentially Jews working with the Freemasons, uh-huh. have tried to eradicate the Boer people who are descendants
right.
of Israel, right? And then
yep.
one of the ways they do it is by rewriting history to actually eliminate the Boer people as a separate group and rewrite history so that now the Afrikaners have become the Boer people. And the Boer people are no longer relevant. Well, that's exactly what the Jews are trying to do.
It's what they're doing here.
It's what they're doing here.
Yeah, once they erase our history, we're just an annoying race of a bunch of racist, hater, bigot Nazis, and the world would be better off without us. And if they kill us, well, there's no real harm done because we were evil anyway.
Yes.
And we needed to be dealt with.
Pastor Dan says, press the J button first.
Yeah, Brother Dan, I go back and forth, but mm-hmm. if you really push me to it, the J button goes first.
Right.
You know, I would right. be, I really deep down want to push that N button first, but the J button, that's the first button. I right. guarantee it.
Right.
That's the first button.
Yeah.
You know.
So here we are with just, you know, the countdown has begun. You know, it can't be more than a few years before, you know, the second coming and all of this upheaval.
You would think.
Yeah, upheaval occurs because you can see the handwriting, handwriting is on the wall. They are trying desperately to disenfranchise the white race and put us out of business and to exterminate us, they don't have to exterminate us. They can try to enslave us. But I have a feeling that Jews will never feel comfortable as long as there's a white person who can possibly be awakened.
Brother, the bottom line is Genesis 3:15 was prophesied by Yahweh for a reason. They are hardwired to destroy us.
Yes.
The problem is we have been... The hatred that we should have toward them has been bred out of us and brainwashed out of us. You know, the enmity was meant to be mutual, not
yes.
one way.
That's right.
And our enmity towards them has been brainwashed out of our people
right.
while it has been encouraged and nurtured within right. our enemy.
Well,
so
it
they,
was.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was mutual up until about 1815. You know, because the Christians kept the Jews at bay by putting them in
right.
ghettos.
We understood. Yeah,
yeah.
Once they got mega wealthy, that was the time they began to
brainwash.
You know, they had the power to do things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they were
yeah.
poor and we kept them in behind walls in the ghettos,
walls.
They were just like an infestation that we could control. But
yeah.
once they became the central bankers and controlled
yes.
wealth. And well,
yeah.
you know, you got that much money, you can do
yeah.
just about anything.
Yeah, and here's the transition because up we had the Medici's and the Borgias, and we had the Dutch Jewish banksters that created the Bank of England. But there wasn't any wholesale Jewish banksterism that lent to all nations all the time.
Right.
Okay. That did not happen until 1815 with the House of Rothschild have at that point during the Napoleonic Wars having lent money to all sides of the Napoleonic Wars and becoming the richest entity on
yep.
the planet as a result.
That's okay. right.
Okay. And ever since that day, they have ruled the planet. And nobody seems to be aware of this except us in Christian Identity.
Yeah, when Rothschild, you know, sucked the entire wealth of Britain, you know, down in one massive
yeah, right.
subversive movement, and you know, a typical Jewish move, and overnight became probably at that time a multi-billionaire, you know, based on levels of wealth. And once you gave them that much wealth, they just parlayed it into where we are today.
Right. And so
I don't even think you could put an amount on how wealthy they are today. A trillion to them must seem like chump change.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. They can make money by, you know, putting it on computer screens. That's how they make money today. They just create wealth on a computer screen. They don't even have to print money. So, but this type of wealth was unheard of. This type of management of currencies, and that's what they do. They manage currencies, and they determine every nation's output, you know, because Meyer Amschel Rothschild said, give me the power to create a nation's currency, and I care not who makes it laws. But they do this for every nation on the face of the earth.
I know, just about.
With the
small exception of 1, 2, and 3, and those nations are continually persecuted.
Right, Iran,
by, you know, North Korea, proxy armies.
Yeah, and Malaysia at the moment. And and they've taken over. They've taken over Libya. They've taken over Iraq. They're trying to take over Syria. Maybe Syria is one of those that they don't control. They'd like to annihilate Syria, but they can't because thanks to Russia protecting them. Okay, so you know there's no way to avoid World War III. There just isn't, right? There just isn't.
Yeah, pretty much. We're right at the point where Ezra has fasted for 7 days, mm-hmm. and this would probably be a good stopping point where on the 8th day he begins to pour out his burden in prayer to Yahweh.
Right.
And I see we got about a minute left, and I think that'd probably be a good place to start next week.
Yes.
After a week of fasting, we'll get into the prayer of Ezra, and the revelation of Yahweh to him continues about the end of the age. And, of course, it's totally racial. This is an amazing chapter 6.
Yeah, and right after these verses, there's one or two, he begins the recapitulation of the creation week, okay, so-called week, okay?
We'll have to get into that as well.
Yeah, and so we'll do that. It's pretty a fair reassessment. Again, it doesn't contradict Genesis at all, which shows, again, that this apocryphal book is scripture and reliable.
Amen.
Okay. All right, Brother Greg, good show. Thanks
Praise
for listening,
Yahweh,
folks.
Brother. Praise what Yahweh. An interesting time we're living in.
Oh, way too
Yahweh cover all of our brothers and sisters. Yahweh cover Brother Steve in the hospital.
Yes, amen. Thank you. All right, folks. Take care. See you next time.